Right. Well, it's my pleasure to introduce Brother Rob Dodson and his wife. She's going to come up and give a little testimony. I've known these folks for quite a while. They were kind of mainstays in Germany for a while. They would show up at the conferences that we'd show up at whenever we'd go in November to the Mission Possible retreat. And then somehow or another, hanging around with missionaries did something to this guy, and he surrendered to come to the mission field. So thank you, brother, for serving the Lord.
Thank you. Amen. Appreciate it.
God is good.
Amen.
And we are so thankful to be here. Thank you, Pastor Parsons. I appreciate it, Brother Morgan. We met at New Horizon. You guys showed up for one of our missions conferences, and that was the first time that we met the Morgans. And then, again, meeting up and seeing each other, it was like a reunion back over at the European retreat over there in Rotenburg, Germany. But we are the Dodson family. I'm Robert Dodson, and I have with me my lovely wife, Linnell, and then our children. We have 8 children. Bryce and Grace are at Pensacola Christian College. And then I have here our 6 children, Brendan, Nathaniel, Hope, Ryan, and Faith, and Nolan Hayden over there. He's our ball of energy. So we are thankful to be here. Appreciate this. Appreciate it, church family. You guys have loved on us. Thank you to all the people that have had a part in fixing the meals this week. Appreciate it. I think I'm going to have to do a little bit more extra PT. We are heading over to Germany. We're going to be partnering with veteran missionaries Gib and Kathy Wood over at Ryland Baptist Church right there in Landstuhl, Germany. It's near Ramstein Air Base. And we'll be partnering with them, learning under the leadership under Gib, and be taken on as the outreach coordinator, doing all the door knocking, the evangelism. And then he said, "Brother, I've really never had a good discipleship program, so I need you to lead that." So that'll be another task in there. And then as I get to know a lot of the missionaries over there in the region, as they come off on furlough, being able to fill in for them as well. And then also, the Lord's really talked to me about keeping that European retreat going. And I've already talked with Brother Woody about that. And he said, "Brother, we need the help." So that's another area that we're going to keep that going. The whole idea behind that European retreat is to encourage missionaries on the field over there and keep them on the field because they're away from home. Dr. Burge always said, we're here to encourage, to keep them on the field, give them good preaching, good singing, good fellowship, and good food. Germany is known for their food. And so we'll be doing that. I was raised Catholic. And I remember as a young boy, I was mostly raised in Ohio, but I remember at one time as a little boy living down in Mississippi, and I believe that was the first time that a church bus came and picked me up and took me to a Baptist church. And I believe that was the first time that I had ever heard the gospel. Fast forward a few years later, right before I joined the service, I really started questioning a lot of things. Of course, the number one question I had was, why do I have to go to a priest to confess my sins? Why can't I go to God himself? And so many times the gospel was given to me. Even Linnell witnessed to me. But I kept rejecting it. I kept putting it off and kept putting it off. But I remember one day we were heading to Fort Gordon, Georgia. How many military members in here, veterans in here? Quite a few. We were heading up to Fort Gordon, Georgia, and we made a pit stop in Macon, Georgia. And some friends of ours invited us to church, and the gospel was given. I was white-knuckled holding onto that pew. Right before that, Linnell grabbed Mrs. Wiggs and went forward, and I later heard the conversation, and she said, "Rob is not saved." And they were both weeping, and about that time, Mrs. Wiggs looked up and said, "Look," and I was coming to the altar. I got down to the altar and I knelt down, and the assistant pastor came up, put his hand on my shoulder, and he said, "Can I help you?" I said, "Yes, I need to know him." He said, come with me. And we went back to his office and he went through the Romans Road with me. He asked me if I would like to be saved. And I said, of course I do. He said, I'm going to lead you through the sinner's prayer. And he didn't have to lead me. I just started praying, started weeping. That was June 14, 1998 that I accepted the Lord as my Savior.
I was born into a Christian family. My parents had been saved for many years before I was ever born. My dad was also in basic training in Texas when I was born, so I do come from a military background also. But because of the different bases that we've been to, every base we went to, my dad and my mom always found a church to serve in. They weren't sitters, they were always servers. And so because of that, I heard the gospel over and over and over through my life. So at the age of six, I realized all those stories that I heard were not stories, but they were the truths. And the Lord touched my heart, and at the age of six in Fort Walton Beach, Florida, Eglin Air Force Base, a Calvary Baptist church, I accepted Christ as my Savior. 2 years later, at the same church, I gave my life to Christ. I said, whatever you want me to do, I will do it. So after high school, I graduated from Christian high school and went to Trinity Baptist College for a year. And then I decided to drop out of college. I dropped out of Bible college and started getting away from God. And so in 1997, at the age of 21, I decided to join the Air Force instead of doing what God wanted me to do. And so I was backslidden, but in order to make myself feel better, like I'm doing okay, I'd witness to him. And I'm like, I'm witnessing, I'm fine. But God kept tugging at my heart and telling me, this is not right. Remember your promise. This is not the path that I have for you. And I kept rejecting him at that point. And because we were married, we met and got married in 3 months. And young people, do not do that. I do not advise that. Not because there's anything wrong with them, but it's the wrong, you know, you need to get with your parents and your pastor and get their advice. I did not. And so because we were married right outside of tech school, I went to South Carolina and he went to Eglin Air Force Base, Florida. And so I was on my way to visit him, and I had a seizure while I was driving. And so I ended up side rotting a tree, and the door of the car came in and crushed my head and opened up my skull on one side, and I hit the car on my other side with this side of the head and got a brain bleed. And so they sent me to the first hospital. They couldn't take care of me. They sent me to Dothan, Alabama. When I was stabilized a few weeks later, they sent me to Eglin Air Force Base, Florida, which is where I woke up 6 weeks and three hospitals after my car accident. When I woke up, I had no recollection of him or my military career. They figured I had lost about 2 years of memory, which put me back to before I ever went in the military. And the Lord is so good. Because even though I looked at my mom and said, I cannot be married to him, he's not even cute. I did. But even though I didn't remember it, and I struggled with all of it, with him and everything, the Lord was so gracious because he had me back at the base that I was saved at. So the people that came and walked through that door, even though I didn't remember him or my career, every person that walked through that door from that church, I knew by name. So the Lord allowed me to be right back to where I was when I was saved, right where I was when I surrendered my life to him. And he used that church and the people of that church to help us build a relationship together based upon God, and then to start what God had for us together.
So like I said, I was just saved in June of 98, and her car accident was in August of 98. So that was a true test of my faith, my faith in him to help me get through that. Because I have never faced anything like that. But through much prayer, my relationship with Linnell's folks grew even more. I had always promised her, because we ran off and got married at the JP, and her parents weren't there and couldn't bless the wedding, but I always promised her that we would have a ceremony. And so 6 years after us getting married in 97, we had that ceremony. But that ceremony was a new beginning, both of us as Christians together. So Germany is so small it can fit in the size of Texas. There's over 84 million people in Germany. And right now, there's over 70,000 servicemen, women, DOD civilians, contractors, and their families in Germany. And right where we're going, which they call Little America, there's over 50,000. So majority of those people, that 70,000, are right there where we're going. If you haven't already, pick up our prayer card. Yes, brother, every missionary does say pray for us. But most of all, we need prayer. We need prayer as we travel and share our burden with many churches. Pray for our support, that we can get over there. Our goal is to be over there by the end of next year. He will supply. He will supply, and we know it'll be in His timing. We're going to go ahead and show the video, brother, and then we'll get into the Word. Throughout Linnell and my career, we had many opportunities to minister to many military families. And we are excited to go to Germany and continue to be around military personnel and continue to minister to families. They've always been on our heart. And so we're excited about that. I did 24 years in the Air Force. Got out, retired over a year ago. And then probably about a month and a half afterwards, we started out on faith. Kind of the same thing, Brother Jensen. It was time. Time to hit the road and go start full time. Amen. Learned a lot. We call it pre-filled ministry because as we go to different churches, our number one goal, I always tell pastors, we're there to be a blessing to you and your church. Amen. And our second goal is to share our burden. That's our goal. We have learned a lot, and continue to learn a lot on pre-filled ministry. So again, thank you, Pastor. I appreciate this. This evening, we're going to take a look at Mark 16:15. And Mark 16:15 says, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Right there is the Great Commission. The Great Commission to go and share the gospel. You ask Brother Dotson, what's the title of the message this evening? The title of the message is God's Op Order. God's Op Order. Those of you that have been in the service, you probably know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about an op order. Some of you say, well, Brother Dotson, what does op order stand for? And before I get into explaining that, we'll go ahead and pray. Father, we thank you for this evening, Lord. We thank you for allowing us to come in your house this evening and open the scriptures and learn from your word, Lord. Lord, we just pray for our military. Our military that are overseas, Lord, defending our freedom. Be with their families as they're away. Protect them while they're over there, Lord. And Lord, just pray that you would send somebody to reach them with the gospel. Lord, just use me tonight. Use me as a vessel, Lord, to convey your message this evening. And Lord, I just pray if there's anybody here that doesn't know you as their personal Savior, that tonight they would come forward and receive you. Lord, just be with everything tonight, everything that be honoring and pleasing you. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Op Order. Op Order stands for Operation Order. Operation Order. In the military, we have many plans. We have an objective, a goal that we're trying to reach. Just like the state of Florida, when we had that hurricane come through and we're about to have this storm come through, there's many plans that are put together to help respond to those situations. And just like the military has many plans for different things that they might encounter. We go through much training to prepare for what we might face. Whenever we go out on a convoy, there's a lot of planning that goes into a convoy. If we're going to go do a humanitarian relief, or we're going to rescue somebody or something or do something, there's a lot of planning that goes into that. How many people are going? How many vehicles, weapons, ammunition, whatever's going on that objective, that mission. Right before an op order, sometimes we have what we call a WARNO. Stands for warning order. Yes, the military has many acronyms and many phrases to help us remember things, because it's hard to remember a lot. Usually right before an op order, we always had a time hack. That way everybody was on the same time. Because whatever time that we were supposed to be at a certain objective, we had to do a lot of backwards planning to prepare to go on that mission. So in the op order, there was five parts to an op order. And like I said, to help us remember those five parts of an op order, they gave us this phrase. And it sounds funny. It sounds funny. I see a brother over there laughing because it looks like he probably knows. Were you in the service? Right here in the beard? No? Okay. I saw you laughing. But the phrase was, Sergeant Major eats sugar cookies. It sounds funny, but it helps you remember each part of the op order. So the sergeant, backing up a little bit, what we did is we always assigned five people different parts of this operation order. So the sergeant is the situation. The situation, for an example, if we have a down pilot who is injured and we have to go rescue that pilot. So if you got up here, brother, to brief the situation, it was real easy. You got up here and stated on this date, this time, pilot so-and-so went down in this area. And then we go into the next part, which is the major, the mission. The mission was even easier to brief, brother. Because you got up here, and that's the part I enjoy, because I wasn't up here maybe 2 minutes. You basically got up here and said, our mission is to go rescue that pilot. Save him from any harm and becoming a POW. The third part was the eats, the execution. The execution was all the planning, and that was the part that I did not like to brief, because sometimes those operation orders, they could go from anywhere from an hour, if not more. But that's all the planning. How we're going to go about this mission. How we're going to go rescue that pilot. All the preparation. The fourth part was the sugar. The sugar is the service and support. The service and support is those people that might be going with us. Now in the military, we call them attachments. We might have some combat medics, because I just said we have an injured pilot. We might take them with us if we're going on in a vehicle. But if we're going on foot, we might also take a canine team with us for tracking. Then the support part of that is, I said earlier, we might face some kind of activity, or we might face some adversity. We train for that. But who is out there that we can call on if we come under enemy fire? Who's in the area that we can call? The Army? The Marines? The Air Force? Because it's not just air or ground support. It could be either one of those. The cookies. The cookies is our command and control. The command and control is everybody from the convoy commander, the team lead, all the way down to the lowest ranking individual. Well, you ask, well, Brother Dotson, why you say all the way down to the lowest ranking individual? Because in that briefing, like I said, we could have some attachments to us. So that lowest ranking individual. In that, everybody's given a call sign, unless you're teamed up with somebody else. But everybody is given a call sign. That way, when we're talking on the radio, we know who we're talking to, who we're giving commands to. That's the op order. The same is true in life. We have an op order right here. from God. From God. It is given right here in the Bible. So number one, just like the military op order, we have God's op order. God's op order is the situation. There is a lost and dying world through them doors. Through them doors. Hebrews 9:27, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Many of those people are going to face the judgment if they don't know the Lord. Here's some statistics for you. On average, two people die per second, 6,392 per hour, 4,679,452 per month, and 56 million people die per year worldwide. That's a lot of people dying without Christ. Many of those are dying without Christ, and many are dying without any idea of their eternity. Some are dying without any hope. The mission, number two, the mission God has given is to us is simple. Reach the lost for Christ. God gives it to us right here in Mark 16:15. We are to tell others about the love of God and the sacrifice that Christ made for us on the cross. I stated this morning during chapel, He loved us so much. Many of us know this verse, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He loves us. He loves us. Mark 16:15 also tells us, number three, the execution. The execution is given right here in this verse. That two-letter word, go. It seems like a small two-letter word, but it means much more than just go. If our hearts are not, if our hearts need to be part of this execution, if our hearts are not part of this execution, we will get discouraged and we will quit. We may start out strong, but we won't last. This verse is not just for pastors, church staff, church workers, missionaries, but to everyone who is a child of God. Amen. It is for men, women, teenagers, boys, and girls. We all need to tell the lost about what Christ did on the cross and how they can receive eternal life. Well, you ask Brother Dotson, well, what are some places that we can tell them? At home? At home? I don't know about you, but I've got some lost relatives. We continue to share the gospel with them. We continue to pray for them that they'll accept the Lord. Some other places at work, our coworkers, even though we don't get along with them, we still need to share the gospel with them. Young people at school, our classmates in college, everywhere we go, we need to share the gospel. Restaurants, grocery stores, gas stations. How many times you've been on the other side of the gas pump and the Lord said, hey, that person on the other side of the pump, hand them a tract. Hand them a tract. Well, how do we tell them? How do we tell them? I just mentioned one. Hand them a tract. Well, Brother Dotson, I'm shy. I was shy in high school too. But it's not hard to hand them a tract. Invite them to church. Ask them to read it. Another way, open the scriptures. Show them. Show them how they can be saved. Number three, share your testimony. Share your testimony. We were out in Fort Worth, Texas for a missions conference, and we went out soul winning. And I was partnered with the pastor. We knocked on this one door, and this gentleman answered. His name was Duck, D-U-C, without the K. We got to talking with Duck, and found out that he wasn't even from Fort Worth. He was from Oklahoma City. And he kept saying over and over again, he was trying to get this house fixed up and get it back on the market and so he can get home and be home with his family. We shared the gospel with him. Just didn't seem like he was very receptive. Pastor turns to me and he says, "Brother, do you have anything to share?" And as we're talking with Duck, we learned that he had a background. He was Catholic. I share my testimony. I share my testimony. Now, Duck didn't get saved that day, and I continue to pray for Duck that he'll get saved. Somebody will come in and harvest. The fourth part. Our service and support. Our service and support is our family, our relatives, our church family. Our service and support. Galatians 6:2, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. We need to pray for each other and be an encouragement. When people ask for prayer about something, pray about it. Because many times that request is a burden that they're facing. Those of you that are on social media, you probably had some friends that post on there, urgent prayer, please pray. As we get older, we forget. So I try to go ahead and pray right then. And I'll put prayed, but that gives me a reference point to go back to and I can write it down and continue to pray about that request until it's answered. Many burdens can cause us to not tell others about Christ. We get so focused on our own issues, we don't see what's going on around us. Our twins, Bryce and Grace, they were born 10 weeks early. Bryce was 3 pounds, 15 ounces. Grace was 2 pounds, 10 ounces. No, the opposite. 3'10", 2'15". They were tiny. But what we didn't realize, there was three couples. We were staying at the Fisher House, kind of similar to the Ronald McDonald House there at Lackland Air Force Base. But there was three families there that had little ones that were born as well. There were maybe a pound, if not more. Two out of those three families lost their little ones. That was an opportunity right there that Linnell and I were able to minister to those couples. But we didn't even know it until later. And we started talking with them and found out. Sometimes we get discouraged, especially in prayer or soul winning. That day we went out in Fort Worth, there was many people that came back discouraged. One, because they didn't leave a track with somebody. Somebody didn't get saved. They got discouraged. But we had to keep reminding them, keep praying for them, that somebody might come along. We may have somebody right now that we've been trying to witness to. Just like my family. But don't give up on them. Don't give up on them. Stay on fire. Stay on fire for him. Pray for them. Continue to share the gospel with them. I tell you this right now, my mom keeps asking us a lot of the same questions that I had right before I got saved. Back in January, I ended up receiving a text message from one of my former canine handlers. Now, I was already retired, and he texted me, and he said, "Sir, are you busy?" And they keep calling me sir. I tried to tell him, "I'm Rob now, I'm not your boss." He said, "Sir, are you busy?" I said, "I've got some meetings this week, but I said, let's meet up on Friday. Let's go get some breakfast. Let's go to Cracker Barrel. We're Baptists. We love to eat, right?" So we go to Cracker Barrel. I get I get the Cracker Barrel about 15 minutes early. I still have that mindset of getting there early. I got in the parking lot and I prayed. I prayed about that meeting. Now I knew a lot of the burdens that Mitch was going through, because I had a lot of the guys reaching out to me and letting me know. I prayed about that meeting. After I finished praying, the Lord said, grab two tracks. I grabbed two tracks, put them in my back pocket. I go in, I get us a table. Mitch still hasn't showed up yet. I prayed again. I prayed again for that meeting. After I finished praying, Mitch walks through the door and he sits down and we start talking. He's sharing a lot of the burdens that he was going through. Now, he just got back from a deployment and he came home early. The good side about him coming home early was that he was there to see the birth of his son. The bad side, the reason why he came home early, is because he tried to take his life. So we sat in there and talked, and he said to me, "Sir, I'm looking for a church." I just smiled and looked up. I reached in my back pocket and I handed him that track and I said, "Here's where we're attending." He said, "What's the times?" I flipped them over and I showed him the times. He said, "I think I'm going to go. I'm going to go by myself. I'm not going to take my family, but I'm going to go by myself." It was a Wednesday and we weren't there, and he texted me, he said, "7 p.m., right, sir?" I said, "Yep." I waited a few days and I followed up with him. I said, "So how was it?" He said, "It was great. The people are friendly. I think I'm going to go back." I was like, "Good." Sunday, I wasn't there. I ended up preaching in the same church that morning and that evening. Right before that evening service, I get a phone call. I didn't recognize the number, but come to find out it was Pastor Dean. And he said, "Brother," he said, and I gave him an update where we're at. And he said, "Brother," he said, "does the name Mitch come to mind?" I said, "It does." I said, "I've had a meeting with Mitch, been talking with him. He's one of my former canine handlers." He's like, "Yeah, he shared that with me." He said, "Well, we had a missionary preaching this morning, but Mitch came forward." He said, "Mitch came to him and said, I need to talk with someone." And knowing Pastor Dean, he just smiled at him and he said, "I'm that someone." He took him back to his office and he said, "Brother, I just let the tears flow and I just listened to him. But I remember Mitch saying one thing." He said, "I have no hope." And Pastor Dean opened his Bible and he said, "I can show you where you can have hope." He showed him, he asked him, "Would you like to be saved?" And he said, "Yes." Pastor Dean said, "Brother Dotson, I want to thank you. Thank you for planting that seed and watering, because I was able to harvest." Amen. Man, that evening, before I got up to preach, I had to share with everybody about Mitch getting saved. Amen. I was shouting hallelujahs that evening. So don't give up. Don't give up. Keep sharing the gospel. We may be serving the Lord and we are getting weary. Satan loves to attack people when we are weary or discouraged. We need to be there for each other and encourage each other in the Lord. If you see someone who is getting discouraged, pray for them. Try to encourage them. Even if it's just an encouraging word, or if you're like Rob, give them a hug, or just let them know that you're praying for them. The fifth part, our command and control. Just like I said, that convoy commander or team leader is that top person. Who is our commander? Who is our commander? God wants to lead and guide us in our path in life. When we allow Him to lead and guide our lives, we may face trials because Satan loves to attack us. But God gives us peace and comfort to get through those situations. He also helps us to have the strength and the boldness to witness to others. He's coming back. He's coming soon. Time is getting short. We don't know the time. Matthew 24:36 says, "But of that day and hour knoweth no man, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only." Amen. He knows. We don't. We need to get busy. Yeah. Get busy sharing the gospel. I'm going to ask you to go ahead and stand if you're able. Head bowed, eyes closed, in an attitude of prayer. Nobody looking around. Maybe the Lord's been talking to you. I know the Lord's been talking to many people this week. But maybe the Lord's been talking to you about full-time Christian service. A preacher, a Sunday school teacher, a bus worker, a missionary. If that's the case, I ask you to share that with your pastor. Share that with your pastor. That way he can help you and pray for you. Maybe you're here and you don't know Christ as your personal Savior. Maybe you've been putting it off till a later time, just like Rob kept doing. The Bible says now is the day of salvation, not some other day or some other time, but now. Father, we thank you for this evening, Lord. We thank you for your word. And Lord, I just ask you to just continue to work in the Christians here, Lord, as they follow your op order. And Lord, if there is somebody here that doesn't know you, that they would come forward. Grab somebody, a guy with a guy, a girl with a girl. Open the word and share with them how they can come and have that personal relationship with you. Lord, we thank you for this evening. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
The invitation is open for you tonight. If God spoke to your heart, step out and come. Brother Bert's going to sing, but if you're here and you need Christ, I'll meet you right here in the front. We'll take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure that you're on your way to heaven. As Brother Bert sings, you step out and come.
All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender. I surrender, humbly at his feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender.
If you're here tonight and you don't know Christ, maybe you're like Mitch and you don't feel like you have any hope. You know, the Bible is full of hope, and it's found in one man, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're here tonight and you've been holding out and you said, "I know all about that, but I've never received him as my personal Savior," so there's no better time like tonight to walk an old-fashioned aisle and receive the Lord Jesus as your Savior, and you'll have more hope than you could ever wear out in this life. You'll have hope enough not only for this life, but for the next. And so while we bow our heads and pray, if you're here tonight and you need that, as Christians pray, why don't you step out and come as Brother Bert sings.
All to Jesus I surrender. Make me Savior, Holy Vine. May Thy Holy Spirit fill me. May I know Thy power divine. I surrender.
Good preaching for us tonight, amen. And I do feel like, you know, one of the blessings of every people group, every group of people need the gospel of Jesus Christ, amen. And our military go around the world, and they leave home and put themselves in harm's way to protect us on a daily basis. And what a shame it would be if we didn't send missionaries to them as well. Jehovah's Witnesses are. The Mormons are. And we need to send folks to where our folks have gone to protect us. We need to send folks there as well to share the gospel with them. And I'm so glad that the Dobsons are going to go there. And Lord willing, we'll be able to take them on for support. We need to kind of get our goal finished off, and then we'll look towards next year and set a brand new goal. And that's what we're here for, trying to strengthen that burden and finish off that goal. And so we're going to ask the missionaries to go to the back to their tables, because we want you to take time tonight to go by and get a prayer card, to speak with them and just talk with them. Make sure you go by the Dobson's table and tell them how much you appreciate them being here and just what preaching tonight. And don't forget tomorrow, all the pre-service activities all the way up till the service are going to be canceled tomorrow evening. We want you to be able to take time. We're going to be taking time around here to batten down the hatches and prepare for what looks like it's coming. I'm going to keep praying while I'm preparing that it won't show up. I like it when I'm prepared and it turns and goes somewhere else. Amen? Amen. And so you keep praying, and we'll prepare, and we'll come and meet together tomorrow night and have our midweek Bible study and prayer. But we'll be also having mission conference, and I'm looking forward to it. Brother Lamont will be preaching tomorrow night. Looking forward to having them, and just thankful for the opportunity to take a week and focus on missions. Amen. Let's pray together. If you happen to be here and you needed to be saved, you say, I should have walked the aisle. I'll be right here for a few minutes. I would love to take the Bible and show you how to be saved. It'd be my pleasure. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, as we come to you tonight, Lord, we thank you for all the things that happened today, the morning chapel, and Lord, how hands were raised, and Lord, how I know you spoke to hearts even tonight, and folks dealt with you and were at their altar. But if there's one in the building tonight that doesn't know Christ as Savior, I pray that they would take time. Lord, that Holy Spirit, I pray you grip their heart, that they might come and let us take the Bible and show them how to be saved. Help us now as we go our separate ways and we prepare. Lord, it would be our will that you would turn this storm and put it back out in the ocean. But God, we want to be ready and we want to be prepared. Lord, help us now as we focus on missions. Lord, help us. Please turn the storm. That's what we would like, Lord. But we ask you to just help us and protect us if you choose to keep it on our way. We ask it all in the name above every name, in the name of Jesus. Amen.